Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 538.
Today, Robert asks,
what makes popcorn writing worth rereading? That is, if one writes stories that are all about enjoying the tale and aren't making commentary on the world or seeking to build 100 layers of subtext, what aspects of tone, setting, story, character, etc. bring people back? Is it just the comfort of the familiar?
Good question. Some of it is the comfort of the familiar. We like, and we being humans, like predictable stories. It's not that we don't like being surprised, but we like our surprises in manageable chunks. There's a reason that there are basic structural similarities between all stories in the Western tradition, and there are similar but slightly divergent structural similarities between stories in the Indian tradition and in the Native American tradition and in the Far Eastern traditions, particularly the Japanese and the Chinese. Are ones that I've studied a bit, and there's similar patterns of structure and motif that recur through every story for it to feel like a real story. And part of that, and there's a lot of reasons for it, but part of the reason for that is that humans like their predictability. It's why we have genres. We want something that's like that one thing we really liked, but is different enough that it'll surprise us a little bit and delight us a little bit, and that kind of thing. And of course, if something hits what it's doing just right, and it's just right for the audience, you will get something that's infinitely rereadable. This is partly due to the presentation of the writer, and if it's a film, whatnot, there's also magic that happens as the different efforts of the director and the writer and the producer and the actors all come together. But a very substantial part of it actually has to do with things outside the writer's control, the audience and the culture. Things that would have been eternal hits in one era are unremarkable in another era because they do not address or encapsulate the cultural zeitgeist in a way that is relatable across generations. Other things last forever because they address something about the basic human condition without even really meaning to. They're just written in such a way that the author has encapsulated something that is really universally relatable. And then, on a more fiddly front, there's the individual audience member. Tracy Hickman tells a story, I don't know if you still can, but you used to be able to find it on the Superstars Writing Seminar website as an excerpt from one of their panels. It was one of the things that they were using to tease and advertise for people to come to the writing seminars. Tracy Hickman was on a panel, and he was discussing the fundamental reason why people write. Now, Tracy Hickman, if you don't know, wrote a lot of Dungeons & Dragons books, Forgotten Realms and Dragonlance and stuff like that. And he tells this story of doing a book signing, and he's since moved on from doing those to writing his own stuff that he considers much more important, much closer to his heart, and just stuff that he's really proud of, like The Immortals and the stuff he's done since then. But he tells the story of being at a book signing for one of his new books, and someone thrusts in front of his face this completely tattered and battered and ripped to pieces and taped together copy of an old, I think it was an old Dragonlance book, but it might have been a Forgotten Realms book. It's one of his Dungeons & Dragons books. And asks him to sign it. And he looks up at the guy. There's a guy in his late 20s, early 30s, who's got a bit of a world-weary expression on his face, but this light in his eyes. And he asks, why this book? I mean, this book is in terrible shape. Don't you want a fresh copy? He said, no, I want you to sign this book. Okay. And says he's signing it. He asks why. And the guy said, my unit was pinned down in the mountains in Afghanistan under fire. We had no rescue helicopters coming. We had no radio reception. We could not get a shot at the enemy. We were under fire Several of us were wounded, a few of us were dead, and we were holding in this little escarpment with no supplies and no relief for a week. And this book was in my pocket. And in order to keep us all from completely checking out and going on a suicide run, I was reading this to the injured guys. And this one part got everybody so excited and so committed to staying there and surviving that we read it over and over every couple of hours out loud to each other. This book kept me and my unit alive. And Tracy Hickman says this is why we write. This is the secret reason we all write. And it's true. This nothing book that he tossed off for money because he was trying to establish his career in the mid-80s so that he would earn the freedom to write what he wanted to write. This book that meant nothing more to him than a paycheck had shaped the entire world and maybe saved the lives of people he never met until that moment and would never meet again. Something in there, in that scene, and when he tells the story, he actually reads the scene. It's an amazingly powerful scene. But something in that scene touched those people in a way he never could have predicted. And when I look at the books that I've read over and over, when I get that into a book, I learn about how it was written and why. And in many cases, they are books that were just tossed off for the money or written in a mad rush to meet a contractual deadline. And they weren't written because the author was trying to explain the secrets of the universe. But something in them was special anyway, without the author even intending them to be. Something in there hooked my subconscious and made it infinitely rereadable. And there are books that I have read 5,000 and 6,000 times. And there are thousands of books I've read once. You can never tell what's going to make a book special to someone. But that's a non-trivial part of the rereadability of popcorn literature. It hits some people like that. And then on a maybe a less obsessive level, when something turns out to be really rereadable, it's hitting a lot of people a little bit like that. So a lot of people are returning to it. Maybe a lot of people are having that kind of reaction to it, but for completely different reasons, because for reasons beyond the author's control, something in him or her that was very special that they weren't intending to include seeped into the book because of where they were in life at the time. So, on a trivial level, people like the predictable. They like to be surprised a little bit, but they like to know what they're getting. And on a non-trivial level, there are things about the ordinary that are so profound that they are very hard to intentionally replicate. But when it happens, that's what makes good art last. Thanks very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.